Welcome to the Life's Hard, Succeed Anyway podcast, where you will hear transformational stories, positive encouragement, and practical strategies to help you grow your mindset, reach your potential, live your dreams, and experience a purpose-driven, impact-filled life. Here's your host, Alan Blaine.
All right, this is Alan Blaine, and I am super excited to interview our special guest today, Dr. Eric Corum. Let me tell you a little bit about Eric. Dr. Eric is a high-performance thought leader and introduced sports science and athletic tracking technologies to collegiate and NFL football. He has worked with the NFL Power 5 NCAA programs, gold medal Olympians, Nike, and the United States Department of Defense. Eric is an expert in sleep and stress resilience and holds a doctorate in exercise science. Eric is the founder of AIM7. It's a health and fitness app that turns your wearable data into ultra-personalized plans for your mind, body, and recovery to help you look, feel, and perform your best. Eric, welcome to the Life's Hard, Succeed Anyway podcast, man. I'm excited for this conversation. Thanks for joining us.
Me too. This is exciting to be here. I've been looking forward to this for quite a while, as you know.
Yes, we both have. I'm glad we finally were able to make it happen. I've given our audience just a little brief overview of kind of who you are, what you're about, and a little bit about your company, but give us a little more detail, kind of the backstory on who Eric is and how you got to where you are here with AIM7.
Yeah, so I grew up in Dallas, Texas. I was an overweight kid. Grew up, you know, I was just overweight. I was bullied. I had low self-esteem and very fortunate to have a wonderful family and to have a strong faith. But as a kid, I was always trying to prove myself. And I found some success in athletics. And that was kind of the place where I could really invest time and feel like I was having a sense of accomplishment. And I got obsessed with how I could improve myself. And I started reading books. You know, this is in like the early 90s. There's not a whole lot. Like, you know, there's no internet like we have today to go Google stuff. I was just going to the Barnes and Noble and finding whatever I could get. And went to Texas A&M University, thought I was going to be a surgeon. And one day, our weight room is connected to a physiology lab. Now, this is like crazy. And I go to our head strength coach, who's now the head strength coach of the Detroit Lions. I say, Coach Clark, what is this? He goes, Eric, there's a science to training athletes. And I was all in. And so was very fortunate, got a graduate master's degree at the University of Arkansas. And while I was there, I was blessed to be introduced to several Olympic athletes, sprinters more specifically. One was Veronica Campbell Brown. She was an 8-time Olympic medalist, 3-time Olympic gold medalist. I spent 14 years working with her and got to travel the world and see how other countries were developing athletes. And I saw that other countries were using tracking technology, and there was this thing called sports science, but we didn't have it in the United States.
This was in the 90s, Eric?
By this time, it's like early 2000s, like 2004, 2005.
Okay.
I was like, I want to bring sports science to the U.S. I had no idea how. And fast forward 2010, I was at Florida State University, and I was hired by the new football coach there as the speed development coordinator because of my background in track and field and football. And had this really cool opportunity to go to Australia. And I brought back these tracking devices. And we're like, these devices connected to GPS satellites. This is before Apple Watch, Fitbit was barely a thing. And I'm duct taping these devices to the pads of our players. And we're getting like millions of data points. And long story short, we were able to turn those data points into actionable recommendations to improve performance and reduce injuries. Our team had an 88% reduction in injury. We went on to win a championship and it just blew up.
Wow.
Now every NFL game, college game, it's all using this technology now. And so that's my career, just kind of took off in that direction. And I really got obsessed with understanding, you know, how to elevate performance, but really more specifically, we started noticing that the best athletes in the world were able to withstand a tremendous amount of physical and psychological stress. And that they were like unfazed biologically, we could measure this. And I'm like, how do we create that capability in anyone? We call this adaptive capacity or the ability to adapt to stress. And so I just went down the rabbit hole on that and got a chance to go work in the NFL, started sports science for the Houston Texans. And then I would say around 2020, I'm like, you know what? how can we bring this capability to the average person? How do we bring this ability to adapt to more physical and mental stress? And so we started the company AIM7, and that's what we do now. We take wearable technology and we turn it into ultra personalized solutions for health and wellness.
Man, this is exciting stuff. You know, I'm wearing my Whoop and I've got another Garmin that I wear sometimes. And now I'm just curious to kind of go a little bit deeper into this and hear what differentiates and what AIM7, what that technology really is all about without getting too deep in the weeds on this interview. But I just want to go backtrack just a little bit. You brought this technology back from Australia, and I think you said 2010 when you were with Florida State coaching or a part of their program in some way.
Yeah, I was the speed development coordinator working in the strength and conditioning staff. And really funny, this is a life lesson for you. The head football coach, Jimbo Fisher, at the end of the season, first season, 2010 season, I was doing all this organizational stuff. He's like, hey, would you be the director of football operations? That's a huge role. I'm barely 30. This is a massive team, big organization.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. Just name me the director of sports science. And he's that job didn't exist. And he was like, yeah, you can call yourself whatever you want. So I did it. And it gave me a behind the curtains look at what it took to run a football organization. You know, I managed a $28 million budget. It was a really amazing opportunity, but that allowed me to go do the sports science stuff. Otherwise, it never would have happened.
Right. And then you said that sports science stuff, that technology that you brought back from Australia, I'm trying to connect the dots here because you said it is, I don't know if you said it this way, but it's like mainstream NFL and probably a lot of US sports today where it wasn't in 2010 or 2010, right?
Nobody, it didn't even exist here in the United States. So there's a company called Catapult, and that was the technology I brought from Australia. Now it's used by, I would say, every major college football team, soccer team. It's used by most of the NFL teams during practice, NHL, like it's everywhere. They're probably, I don't know, $300 or $400 million company now. And so nobody had ever tracked an athlete in game. Imagine like nobody had ever put a device on somebody who really knew what was happening.
Wow.
And so we were the first ones to really quantify the game of football. Before that, it was just like, oh, we're just going to practice like this or train like this because this is what we've always done. And I'm like, no. Let's actually measure what's happening. So I'll give you an example, Alan.
Okay, yeah.
A receiver in college football that plays, let's say, core four special teams could cover 7,000 to 8,000 yards in a game and sprint several, maybe 700 to 1,000 high-speed yards. A lineman, an offensive lineman, may sprint 50 yards in an entire game, and typically that's from going from the sideline to the field. But everybody was training the same way in the offseason.
Hmm.
Does that make any sense?
No.
No. It'd be like saying, oh, we got a really successful organization here at XYZ Corporation, but our accountants are going to train exactly like our warehouse workers. And you're like, what are you, an idiot?
Right.
Everybody's got to have a specialty. Like, so, but it just hadn't been done because nobody had pushed back on convention. And I wasn't trying to prove anybody wrong. What I was trying to do is I was trying to create a better system to help our players thrive.
So how is that technology, if it is different, how is it different than the AIM7 technology, which is the app you, if I understand right, it's your company, you own it.
Yes.
It's your business.
Yeah. So at that point, it was like, we're going to take in raw data and then we've got to create the training plans. We got to then turn that into plans of how the guys are going to practice. What AIM7 does is, let's say you got your Apple Watch or your Garmin, we pull that data in along with some other very unique data sets. And then we're like, hey, today you like to lift weights, do yoga, get on the elliptical. You should hop up. Your body right now is best ready to do a 35-minute elliptical session in this specific heart rate zone. Or if you go to the gym today, we will manipulate how many sets, reps, how hard the session is based off of how you are uniquely wired that day or your capability that day to adapt to stress. Or from a mental fitness perspective, let's say you're stressed out, we'll send you a specific breath work tool to use to calm down, or your mood's off, a specific gratitude intervention. And as you and I were talking about off air, we've really kind of niched down into this world of pickleball. And what we found was, is like, there's 45 million Americans playing pickleball right now, and There's almost $400 million in injury claims last year.
Wow.
So what we've done is we're like, now we have all those great recommendations in there. So anybody could use the app. But now we're like saying for pickleball players, like, here's a warm-up video, step-by-step warm-up to do before you go on the court. Here's exactly what you do when you're done. Here's the workout plan you do daily. Here's mobility training that you can do to improve mobility for your knees and hips and ankles so you can bend better and have less pain. So we basically have niched into this world of pickleball, and we're bringing them a holistic health and fitness program to help them stay healthy and on the court.
I love it, Eric. So as this interview is going to be airing here in April of 2024, where is that technology at today as it relates to pickleball? Is that something that, how many pickleball players did you say there are currently? And I know it's growing at an alarm, not alarming, that sounds negative, but a staggering rate.
Yeah, there's 45 million Americans that are going to play, just Americans that are going to play this game. The app is in the App Store. You can go download it in the Apple App Store. If you type in AIM 7 or it's, we name the app Pickleball Fit Coach. But yeah, we have a website, aim7.com. But I'll tell you, it's kind of a story of, I mean, you're an entrepreneur or just kind of really anybody in life that you don't really know what's over the next horizon. You just know that you need to keep moving, right? Like, people are like, I just want clarity in my life. Like, there is no such thing as clarity. It's like, take the next step, right?
It's clear as far as you can see.
That's it. It's clear as far as you can see. I actually have a newsletter and I'm putting out this video. I've just filmed it this morning. I sent out a newsletter every Friday called Adaptation. And I started doing these little videos of me for like 2 minutes on something I've been thinking about. And I recorded a video this morning on a pioneer mindset. And why we all need to kind of adopt this, like, think about the pioneers 200-300 years ago. Can you imagine like going across the country, having no clue what the finish line is, when you could hit a cliff or,
right,
you know, the coast is going to show up? They just took one more step.
Yeah.
They took another courageous step. And I think we're all like pioneers. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And that takes courage. It takes vulnerability, knowing that, hey, I also need help in these other areas. So for me, this journey has just been like, all right, let's wake up tomorrow and go see who we can help.
That's exciting, Eric. So before I jump into some other questions I have for you, where is that? How widely spread is the app in that pickleball space? I'm sure we're touching some ears and eyes on this episode, yeah, of people that are pickleball players.
We just made this pivot, I would say, a few weeks ago. So the app, the website, we've been partnering with facilities. We've signed top players. We're now in, like, if anybody out there uses the Duper system, the rating system for pickleball, you'll see us in there. So this is at the ground level. We're the first in the App Store. So imagine, like, you're the first running app, right? So it's all brand new. It's all very exciting. But the excitement from the pickleball community, the inbound of people hearing about this, has just been so encouraging. Like, yes, we need this. I'm excited. I need help with this, you know? So it's been a lot of fun.
I love it. Before we jump off pickleball, one last question. Is it mainly going to be something that's going to help give somebody a competitive edge or injury prevention or something else or all the above?
It's both.
Okay.
We got range in the product. So people that, if you're in pain, this is going to help you. If you want to prevent injury, this is going to help you. One of the things we did is we looked at all the most common injuries in the sport. Calf Achilles. How many people you know that pop their Achilles playing pickup basketball or pickleball or whatever?
Right.
Low back, hip, knees. So Dr. Kyle Richmond, he's a mobility and rehab specialist, partnered with us, and we have hundreds of videos in there. And then we're releasing soon daily 10-minute mobility sessions that really anybody would benefit from. And then we've got full spectrum workouts and mental fitness programs and recovery. So it's for that casual person that's just like, you know what? I love playing the sport, but I'm in pain, all the way up to the person that's like die hard playing in tournaments every weekend. Or and once you get into this world, it's like the new CrossFit, but it's a bit more equitable, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Wow. Super interesting. As I was sharing with you off air, my wife and I just bought paddles and a bucket of balls, and we're ready to jump onto the court and and experience this amazing sport. I know you're about the wearable technology to support that and other athletes. It's not limited to pickleball, but just speaking of pickleball, I'm excited to get out there and play it. But man, Eric, you've had quite a resume, man, from some high level college sports teams to, you know, NFL teams. And like you said, the Texans, right?
Yeah, Houston Texans.
Houston Texans. What would you say has been a key? And now your app that's blowing up. What would you say has been a key to your success?
Perseverance is one of the things. I think just taking the next step has been kind of something in my life. You know, as I really think about it, I've just been pretty bold. When I did the athlete tracking thing back in 2011, there were people that were not excited about this, believe it or not. There were people on our staff that thought this was going to get us fired.
Wow.
Because they're like, what if you reveal that we're making mistakes? And I was like, that's exactly what we want to find out, because it's an advantage, right?
Right.
But I've always kind of been swimming upstream during my career. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible is, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance.
Love that one.
And I think that's one of the things that's really enabled me to keep growing and just to give me an opportunity to have an impact.
I love that. I love that, James. I think it's James 1:5,
yeah.
That passage. It's been such an encouragement to me, because, man, there's been plenty of challenges along life's way. That's the podcast and the name of the podcast and my book and everything else. And speaking of challenges, what has been one or more of the bigger challenges that you faced to date, Eric?
I would say growing up, you know, the childhood part was pretty hard. That was difficult, where I was being judged by what I looked like and not who I was as a person.
Mm.
And I really struggled through that. I don't make excuses as far as like, oh, you don't have great genes or anything like that. You know, like, I'm a fit person now, you know what I'm saying? But that was a really hard struggle. And then I would say really the past four years have been just a kick in the butt. Leaving a very successful career to go build something, I felt like I was called to do it. It really stretches your faith.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been easy. And it's really made me rely on God more. And as a matter of fact, I want to read you something. A friend of mine, he's a former firefighter, Army Ranger, and he was in the CIA.
Love it.
And we're really good friends. He's a very unique individual. And he just sent me a video message today out of the blue, just telling me that he loved me and cared about me. That you need great friends. And he said, Eric, never forget Big Al's 3 rules for fighting fires and for life. So this was from a retired battalion chief firefighter. And it says, if it's not on fire, it's not a big deal. That's number one.
Love it.
Number two, if it is on fire and you focus on doing your job, it will go out. And number three, if it is on fire and you did your job, but it doesn't go out, it wasn't going to go out anyway.
I love it.
And I was like, we're not called to always, like, the problem's always not going to get solved. Our job is just to wake up and do the best we can.
So good, Eric. Man, awesome to have good friends in our lives that are encouraging and uplifting and would take the time to send an encouraging message like that, isn't it?
Yeah, no question.
I would have to say most people don't have friends. Like, I'm not saying some do, mm-hmm. right? Well, some of us do, but I think most don't. And that's a treasure in itself right there. Love that.
No question.
You talked about being overweight as a child and the challenge that was. I mean, I could imagine I wasn't overweight as a child, but it's so funny. The smallest things that physically that I was made fun of as a child, and none of the other children meant, you know, but it's not a big deal. But to me, it was such a big deal. I mean, I still have to deal with some of those same insecurities to this day. And it's just little things about my body, not being overweight or something that could be a bigger thing to somebody. But it's amazing how those little things are big things. How do you view that or any other challenge in hindsight, kind of on the other side of it? Because like you said, you're shredded, you're fit, everyone would probably love to have a physique like yours today. But how do you view the challenges of the past? I guess that's the question.
I try to look at, like, what was I supposed to learn? And how is this going to be used to help somebody else? And so it would be selfish for us to go through something really hard and then to harbor the learnings and not share it with others, or to use that pain to help somebody else. And so I look through my life from the lens of my faith, and not everything is about us.
True.
You know, like sometimes you're going to go through crap because it's going to help somebody else, and you're not going to know why until later. And then when it happens and you're like, oh my gosh, I went through that so that I could help that person. It's a tapestry that's woven together in ways that we really don't understand. When I'm going through difficult times, I just try to now like, okay, I mean, I start every day. I just get on my face and I'm like, God, like, do whatever you want today. Help me to have a great attitude. And like Jim Harbaugh's dad used to say, let's attack today with a enthusiasm unknown to mankind. Like, how can I do that? And I'm not perfect. And there's days where I'm just like, but I try to be the same person every day and just keep pursuing excellence.
So good. I agree with you. And I love that you brought up those points. Just not only the fact that we can learn through any challenge, any trial, any whatever we go through, but also it's like the ace in the hole. Sometimes I'm wondering, what in the world was I supposed to learn from this? Because I honestly, I'm not sure at this point, you know, certain situations, but I've always got that ace in the hole. Like you said that, well, I've got an experience now to help someone, to encourage someone, to relate with someone, to have better empathy for someone. And that is an amazing perspective to carry through tough times. So I love that you have that and that you shared that.
Thank you.
Maybe that is the advice. What advice would you give to someone who's in the midst of their challenge right now? They are the overweight kid, or they're going through whatever their challenge may be. It could be, you know, a whole host of things that we all face in life.
Yeah. I mean, we either in a storm, going into a storm, or coming out of one, right? So,
right.
One of the things I think that's helped me a lot, especially I'd say the past 4 or 5 years, is making sure that I'm living in community and not isolating myself. So even though I'm, you know, an entrepreneur and I spend most of the day in my office here, I'm very deliberate about spending time with my family, connecting with friends in real life. Like I had coffee with somebody this morning, even though like everything inside of me is like, you got to work, work, work. I'm like, you got to connect, Eric. And then I have a group of guys that I can talk to, that we spend time together and that we share each other's burdens. And then also I'm open to correction. Like if they tell me my stuff stinks, I need to be willing and open to go, yeah. So I think if the biggest thing I could say is like, do not isolate yourself. That's why, like, if you know about like special missions units, they're always like the team. The SEALs always say the teams, that's kind of their thing. When I was in sports, it was always a team. There's a reason why guys love the locker room, because of that camaraderie. The world needs a locker room. You need to find that team, whether it's two people or three people. You know, you're blessed to have a couple great friends in life. Not everybody can be your best friend.
Right.
But I would say you really need that community.
So good. Such great advice. What is one piece of advice you'd love to give your younger self if you could go back in time and do that?
Yeah. Stress isn't the enemy. It's the gateway to growth. I would tell myself, Eric, like I can think back through these times that were just super difficult. And like, Eric, this is the only way you're going to grow, is you're going to have to go through this stuff. Like our biological systems are built to adapt to stress. If you want to get stronger, you have to lift progressively heavier weights. If you want to get fit from a cardiovascular standpoint, you have to stress the heart. How is it that anything else is going to get better without stress?
Yeah.
You know, what do they say? No stress, no diamonds. Like, we don't fear it. We just embrace it and freaking like take it head on.
So good. So good. Hey, Eric, do you have like a favorite success quote or any kind of quote maybe that you'd be willing to share?
I had a quote my dad always told me. He said, love the truth more than you fear your pain.
Ah, like that.
The truth in the world is getting diluted. It's hard to know what truth is now. Like, you know, whatever your selected media, like Fox News or CNN or whatever, like it's hard to know like truth. And I think that in our own lives, we can dilute and be like, oh, well, you know, this is okay. Or if you really love truth, you're going to be willing to pursue it and course correct whatever it is in your life. And if you can go like, I love that more than I fear like the pain that may come with dealing with it, that could save your life.
So good. What would you say is one habit that has been instrumental in your success? I'm sure a lot of discipline in your life to have had the success that you've had relationally, physically, and financially in all the ways. But what is one of those habits that you'd be willing to share that could be beneficial to our audience?
Physical training. I still just see working out as a training. And so I'm always trying to push myself in a new and unique way. It creates discipline. You know, a friend of mine used to say discipline breeds discipline. Every day doesn't have to be a grind. Like, you don't have to go out there and just like, oh, I'm going to get under a squat bar and kill myself. You know, I think that's irresponsible. But physically training, like today is Thursday. I'm going to go put on a weighted vest and go walk for an hour later today. Okay. Yeah. Like three times a week, I'm going to lift weights. At least twice a week, I'm going to do at least an hour of aerobic exercise. And then 2 days a week, I'm going to rest or just focus on walking. I'm going to move my body consistently. That physical training and that rhythm of discipline just kind of starts bleeding over into other parts of your life.
I love that. On your three strength training days, resistance days, what do those look like, those 3 days a week for you?
Yeah, this is really great. The timing of this question is awesome because I'm actually going to put something out. I'm actually creating a resource next week for my newsletter. I've been thinking about I use what's called an agile framework. So life is chaotic, right? And so we need to be able to perform functional movement tasks, squat, hinge, twist, rotate, statically hold things. We also need to have strength, power, and stamina. And as we age, one of the things that people stop training is power. I don't mean you have to do Olympic lifting, but you can do a machine chest press for speed. You can throw a medicine ball. So what I do is my workouts are pretty much structured. Like I do one or two exercises for power. I do a 15 to 20 minute warm-up. I know that sounds like crazy long, but it's a ton of mobility. It's how I keep my joints supple. I do 1 to 2 power exercises, 1 to 2 strength exercises, and then probably 3 exercises for a hypertrophy. So what would that look like? I may go do a bent over power row. So explosive row and drop it. Then I'll go over and do 5 plyo push-ups and I'll wait 2 minutes because I'm trying to actually train power. You can't just do this back-to-back. It doesn't work like that. Do 3 to 4 sets. Then I'll go do maybe heavy, heavy dumbbell lunges, supersetted with dumbbell bench press. And I'll rest 2.5 minutes between sets. 3 to 4 really good sets of that. And then I'll pick, 3 to 4 hypertrophy exercises either and do two supersets of those, where I'm trying to do 8 to 12 reps and really push it. By the end of the week, if I kind of do something like that, I've hit all velocity spectrums. I've done enough working sets to continue stimulating muscle growth and hypertrophy. And I'm not losing power as I age and strength, all things that we need if we're going to be functional as we age. And so it's really simple. I can get in and out in an hour and 10 minutes the most.
I love it. For our audience, can you explain hypertrophy?
If you want to train for power, you have to have some type of weight that you got to move fast. So imagine if your max squat was 300 pounds, I would put 150 pounds on the bar and I would go down slow and up as fast as I can. So you have to have rate of force development. For strength, it's pretty simple. Lift heavy things. Don't fail.
Yeah.
To get close to failure. I like to use machines now as I'm getting older, or trap bars, so that I'm not putting myself in a compromised situation. Muscle hypertrophy is just muscle growth. You're actually stimulating the growth of the muscle. How do you do this? There's really not a huge magic formula here. You need about anywhere between 8 to 12 plus reps. You need to lift the weight. The intensity of the weight should be such that there's only a couple good reps left in the tank. Meaning you're not going to fail, but if you did 2 more, you would fail.
Yeah.
That's how hard you got to push yourself. So the yellow or the pink, nylon dumbbells, if you're 75 years old and you're just getting into lifting weights again, that's good. But if you think that's going to continue to stimulate and maintain muscle as you age, you're fooling yourself. Your body weight at the beginning of a training program, resistance training program, could be enough. In 4 or 5 months, you're going to have to add some weight. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying everybody has to be a bodybuilder. I'm just saying that you have to, if you want the body to adapt, you have to stimulate it with something that's going to stress you a little bit. And you can do this in a safe way. But this is what the government's recommending. I mean, this is the World Health Organization is every human being should do 150 to 300 minutes of heart rate elevated exercise a week. and at least 2 total body strengthening sessions. If you do that, the most current literature says you reduce your risk of all-cause mortality by 41 to 47%. These aren't marginal improvements.
No, they're not marginal improvements. And isn't it something like after the age of 40 that you lose, unless you proactively do something about it, that you're going to lose like 1% of your muscle mass per year? Have you heard that, Eric, or something along those lines?
I couldn't tell you the exact percentage of muscle mass loss because it's highly variable. But yes, you're going to lose muscle because think of all the factors. Nutrition, if you're not eating adequate protein, you'll be muscle wasting. If you're inactive, you'll be muscle wasting faster. If you don't do resistance training, but yes, you are going to see a small decline, but you can push back on that and make it very marginal. There are people in their 50s that are gaining muscle.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you haven't done anything and then you start stimulating it, but if you've been lifting weights for 10 or 15 years, there's going to be a gradual, like Schwarzenegger doesn't look like Schwarzenegger anymore, right?
Right.
It's the same thing with testosterone for men. After 30, you're going to see a decrement, but you can slow that down tremendously by lifting weights, by getting enough sleep,
yeah,
by eating enough calories. One of the fastest ways to crash your testosterone is to be in a caloric deficit for a very long period of time. Dieting for 6 months will just crush your testosterone. Mm. That's why you should kind of go in and out of periods of caloric restriction.
Man, tons of good stuff here. What would you say is one of the better pieces of advice you've ever received, Eric? Maybe it's around health and fitness. Maybe it's around something altogether different.
Yeah. I don't know if it was a piece of advice that I have received, but I think going back to this concept of stress isn't the enemy, it's the gateway to growth. Like if you can start viewing life from that perspective, that like whatever you're going through is not the enemy, it is actually the pathway to improvement. It could be a financial situation. It could be a physical training deal. It could be a situation with your spouse or child. You know, have you heard of the Stockdale principle?
I have.
Yeah. So Jim Stockdale was like he was the highest ranking officer that was a POW during the Vietnam era. And Jim Collins in The Good Great Research was like, you know, what was the key to all this? He's like, you know, I never lost hope. First of all, I said the people that died were optimists. You know, they would think that we're going to be out by Christmas or we're going to be out by whenever. And then the Christmas would come and go. And they literally died of a broken heart, he said. But he said, I never had faith. I never lost faith that this would not be the defining moment in my life. And that retrospectively, I would not change this for anything.
Mm.
At the same time, I faced the brutal facts of the reality that I was in. So he was like going, look, this stress that I'm under is going to be the thing that is going to define me. But you have to face the very stark reality of what is happening right now and not be, your head can't be in the clouds. You got to be very realistic about what's happening.
That's so good. And then with that positive perspective on the most painful situation, knowing there's something good coming out of this, this is how I react to this, how I handle this, which is my choice, is going to define me. I love that. That's so good. So good. What is one book that you might recommend, Eric, to the Life's Hard, Succeed Anyway audience?
Yeah, there's a book called Legacy. It's about, have you ever heard of the All Blacks, the rugby team?
No.
So if anybody watched the Seven Nations rugby thing on Netflix, the greatest rugby team of all time, they're called the All Blacks, the New Zealand All Blacks, are the most successful sporting franchise ever. There's a book that came out, I think in 2013, called Legacy, and it's about their culture. And it's one of the best organizational books I've ever read.
I love it. Okay, I'm gonna have to check that book out. Sounds like it's right in my wheelhouse. What would you say is, if it's something you've ever thought about, I don't know, is your definition of success, Eric?
Yeah, I would say it's maximizing my skill and talents to glorify God. Like impact others, glorify God. He put me here for a reason. Like I don't want to die with any water left in the sponge.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to squeeze it all out. And like, God willing, one day when I'm ready to go home, it's like, I did the best I could.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that looked like.
Yeah. I love that so much. When you think about the future now, what at this moment in time is exciting you the most?
I would say 2 things. One, watching my kids grow up is really exciting. And I feel very blessed to be a father. And then, you know, what's happening with AIM 7 right now in this world of pickleball, man, like, it's hard to explain, but going out to these facilities and meeting these people, it's just like a really neat community. And I feel very fortunate to be in a position to help impact people's lives through technology and what we're doing.
Super cool. Speaking of, those are two things to be excited about. It sounds like your kids, watching your kids grow up, how many children and what are their ages?
Yeah, I have three boys. One's about to turn 4. The other one's 8. The other one's 12.
Awesome. 4, 8, and 12. Every 4, you're on the 4-year plan. So sounds like number 4 might be right around the corner.
No. Stop it.
Oh man, that's awesome. Hey, what's our best way, for our listeners to connect with you, Eric, learn about your app, follow along on your journey, all the things?
Yeah. So aim7.com, you know, you can learn about more about AIM7. And then I'll give you a link for your listeners. I have a newsletter called Adaptation, and you sign up for that. There's no fee or anything. I send out an email every Friday that kind of goes over my, you know, what I'm learning about stress and resilience, but also has links in there for my podcast that comes out 3 times a week. I consider it like Huberman Light. So it's like 15-minute episodes on cutting edge science, leadership, and life skills called The Blueprint. But if you put Adaptation, we'll put a link for that in the show notes. That'd be awesome.
Absolutely. We'll put all that in the show notes below so it's easy for our listeners to access. And I love that. Huberman Light. That's good. Yeah. I mean, I can wrap my head around that very quickly. I'm sure our listeners can too and know what we're getting, which sounds really amazing.
Thank you.
Closing comment, Eric, that you might want to leave with our listeners on the way out? This has been amazing.
You know, I think we've talked about a lot of things, but just take it one day at a time. You know, don't get ahead of yourself. And a lot of the anxiety that we have in life is about things that will most likely never happen. And so, you know, I'm not saying be optimistic just to be optimistic. I'm just saying that, like, there's really good things happening in this world and you're here for a reason, and just keep taking the next step.
Great advice. Eric, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for taking time to come on here and share your wisdom, experience, exciting things that you're up to with your AIM7 app with our audience today.
Thank you so much, Alan. I appreciate you having me on.
If you love this podcast, grab some of Alan's free resources on his website at alanblain.com, spelled AllanBlain.com. You can also find links to Alan's Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok there in his contacts page. Lastly, if you can leave a 5-star review for us on your favorite podcast app, that will get these messages out to more people and it will really mean the world to us. Thanks in advance and make it a great day.